You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Tuesday, Groundhog's Day. Great to have you aboard as the Gym Class takes air here today. Scott Udash here in our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Plus one day from his birthday. You have a good one? You had a good one last night, Buttons? Yeah, very good. All right. A lot to get to in the program here today. We're going to talk with Wyatt Schultz, the predicament. We'll talk high school wrestling, a little college wrestling as well. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Iowa and Michigan State will tee it up tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena just past 6 o'clock on FS1. We will preview that ball game in all four Big Ten contests. Busy nights on the hardwood of the Big Ten. That's coming up this evening. We'll talk about that and a whole lot else as far as the world of college basketball is concerned. And we're closer and closer to the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, as it'll be the Chiefs and the Buccaneers from Tampa. And we'll have it for you starting at 1 o'clock with all four frequencies following the Super Bowl. 1 o'clock with the pre-game show, followed by the pre-game show, and then the pre-game show before the actual kickoff at around 5:40 coming up on Sunday afternoon with the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Chiefs anywhere from about a 2.5 to a 4-point favorite last time I looked, depending on wherever you are doing your betting, if you choose to go that route. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Phone line at the same number. And we bring in the third member of our group, and that is Mark Dukes. You're on the tee, sir. We've hit it down the middle with a slight fade, a 5-yard fade.
Good afternoon. I usually follow you on the tee, that's for sure. Thanks for the reminder.
Not what I was going for.
We'll get back to that soon enough, but why is Punxsutawney Phil still a thing?
Because it's one of the few American traditions that is still alive and kicking, even though most of America probably doesn't follow it.
February 2nd, whether it's on the calendar or meteorologically speaking, it's about 6 weeks away. So this groundhog isn't telling me anything I don't already know.
So you're saying Punxsutawney Phil is bupkis?
In a manner of speaking, but I like the movie.
I did too. I enjoyed the movie. Of course, very, very successful movie with Bill Murray doing a great, great job as far as being a guy you like to just dislike throughout most of the movie as far as Groundhog Day is concerned. 319-366-1600. If the groundhog, the Eastern Iowa groundhog, did not see its shadow today, so that means what? Early spring here. So about the Girls' Day basketball tournament week, we should be in the 50s and 60s.
Well, Girls' Day tournament week could be anything from a blizzard to 60 degrees. So mark that on your calendar. Let's follow up with that.
Yeah, we'll mark it down. Mark that down, Buttons. The groundhog in Pennsylvania says 6 more weeks. Ours said 4 weeks today. So we'll see who's meteorologically right at the end of the stretch here. 319-366-1600. As we come your way on the Tuesday edition of the show, we'll talk with Wyatt Schultz coming up in just a little bit. Speaking of acting and actors, we lost a great one actually about a week ago, but the passing was just reported today. As multi-time award winner Hal Holbrook passing away today at the, or I should say about a week ago, at the age of 95.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites, a multi-talented guy, did Twain, did Lincoln, did many other things. And one of his favorite roles for me was Deep Throat in All the President's Men. one of the all-time great movies. And for, you know, I was a writer for many years and loved the investigative work of Woodward and Bernstein at the time, I shall say. But at the time, I've since read that Holbrook actually turned down that role until Robert Redford, the director, came knocking on his door. And Holbrook didn't think this role would amount to anything because at the time, nobody knew who Deep Throat was. It wasn't until 30 years later that it was revealed that it was an FBI employee. But I thought he's great in that role. I still have a DVR or whatever you call it these days. I can watch it anytime I want. I read the book first and I've watched the movie multiple times, and I loved Hal Holbrook in that movie.
Well, he was one of the few that had success in both films and in television. Did a lot of very good television. You mentioned Mark Twain portrayed him. Also, Abraham Lincoln portrayed him as well. And just had some very good television acting roles. Of course, his wife, Dixie Carter, who was then his wife, was on Designing Women. And, of course, Hal Holbrook was on that as well. Was on Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds. Was a big part as far as that show is concerned. And who can forget Hal Holbrook as the feisty villain in I'm doing this tongue in cheek in Fletch Lives as Ham Johnson, Hamilton Ham Johnson in Fletch Lives.
Yeah, the Department of Corrections, I misspoke. Robert Redford was not the director of All the President's Men. He played Bob Woodward, so I apologize for that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Hal Holbrook was multi-talented, decorated, and lived a long, good life.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you as Hal Holbrook passing away at the age of 95. That was back in late January. 12 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. We've got Big Ten basketball on four fronts coming up this evening as Iowa will take on Michigan State. That is one of the three games scheduled for this evening as far as Big Ten basketball is concerned. A very interesting slate. Also, as far as the Big Ten is concerned coming up tonight, you've got Purdue and Maryland leading things off at 5:30. Purdue into the top 25 at number 24, and we'll see what Maryland team shows up for this one, because Maryland has been anywhere from absolutely out of sight to stinking up to join against Iowa in College Park a few weeks ago. Also, Penn State playing good basketball goes on the road to Madison to take on the 19th rated Wisconsin Badgers coming up tonight. And then Illinois will try to come back off of the win against Iowa, and they've got a tough one. They go to Bloomington to take on Indiana coming up tonight. That's an 8 o'clock start on ESPN television coming up this evening. And the television, I know there was some confusion on this earlier on. Iowa is on FS1 tonight at 6 o'clock. You've got the Big Ten Network with the doubleheader, Purdue, Maryland at 5:30, followed by Penn State and Wisconsin at 7:30 coming up tonight. So make your appropriate plans as far as Big Ten hoops is concerned coming up tonight.
Yeah, three interesting games that you illustrated. Of course, the fourth is Iowa and Michigan State, which we'll get to in a minute. But all three have very interesting storylines. I mean, Purdue going along at, I think, 7-4 in the league. In contention, and Maryland kind of an enigma, how they play home, away, what have you. And then, as you mentioned, Penn State playing very good basketball. This is not a bad Penn State team. And Wisconsin has had its ups and downs, but it is in Madison, I believe. So, and then that Illinois-Indiana game, how Illinois will rebound, as you mentioned, after that win over Iowa against a perfectly capable Indiana team.
Yeah, and an Indiana team that really needs another big win to help solidify their resume. By the way, Joe Lenardi today February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. His latest bracketology. And again, this in a quarter will buy you a cup of coffee back in the day. It's just out there for talk, what have you, around the bar. But for the first time, Joe Lenardi's got two from the Missouri Valley Conference in. He has Loyola and Drake in. Solidly in the field of 68 right now. Drake an 8 and Loyola as a 10 seed right now. So as a proponent of mid-major basketball, I know it's not Selection Sunday, but it's nice to see that appearing as far as Joe Lenardi is concerned.
Yeah, and we've been advocating that, barring a collapse by either team, and they will meet, Loyola and Drake, that is, coming up later this month, barring a total collapse by one or both teams, I think, as it should be. Both teams should get in the field, and Drake moving to, 17-0 last night, 20-point favorite over a team that it had to scratch and claw and win in overtime, but won it comfortably. I think that was more indicative of those two teams last night than the previous game.
Yeah, I would agree. And yeah, Drake got right back on the winning side of the on the just blowing people outside of the ledger last night, and that was terrific to see. Iowa State basketball coming up tonight as Iowa State the gauntlet continues as they welcome in 17th rated West Virginia. Tonight to Hilton Coliseum. That is a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock with the tip-off, just past 6 o'clock with the tip-off coming up this evening. You and I were talking earlier today. When was the last time you saw Iowa State as a 12-point underdog at Hilton Coliseum? They are a 12-point dog tonight to West Virginia.
Yeah, that's very unusual. The Cyclones should get some players back. George Condon may be able to do some damage in the middle, but this is another uphill struggle for a depleted Cyclone outfit. This game is actually part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team. What happens in college basketball tonight? We give you four choices. Iowa and Iowa State both win. Iowa wins and Iowa State loses. Iowa State wins and Iowa loses, or both teams lose at home. Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com.
Go ahead and vote. And the big one tonight around the country in the Big 12, 6 o'clock, number 2 Baylor goes to Austin to take on number 6 Texas this evening. Does the undefeated season, there are only 4 unbeatens left in the world of college basketball, and does one of them go down tonight with the Baylor Bears? We'll see. We'll see. Texas has had some COVID problems. Baylor had it earlier. And we'll see if Texas can get a few more players coming back tonight. Longhorns are getting 6 at home, though, if you're interested at all as far as that number is concerned. 319-366-1600. But we are concerned with Iowa and Michigan State coming up this evening down at Carver-Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. And as Mike Halas wrote in the Gazette today, this is just not your this is not your Big Brother's Michigan State team this year. We know that. Sparty is hurting, but it is a wounded animal is sometimes a dangerous animal, as we know, Mark. And even though Iowa is a favorite in this game by almost double digits, Michigan State still has talent. They have not shot it well from the outside. They have not rebounded as well as they have in past years, but it is still Michigan State, and it is still a dangerous team, and it is still Tom Izzo.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, and I'm interested to see how this game turns out. Tough spot for Michigan State, third game in 6 days in 3 different states, and Iowa stinging from that loss to Illinois, in fact, 2 straight losses, and I know the Hawkeyes anxious to right the ship in that regard. But as you mentioned, you've got Tom Izzo on the sideline, and you've got capable players in Aaron Henry and Jeremy Langford and
Joey Hauser. Joey Hauser, too.
Yeah, and Rocket Watts to a certain extent. What this Michigan State team doesn't have is an exceptional point guard like Cassius Winston. And I think it suffers in that regard. I think Garza and Dungy and others will be able to exploit the middle. I don't know. I don't bet much, and I don't know that I'd bet on this team because it seems too simple. 9.5, 10-point spread in favor of Iowa, it seems too simple based on what Michigan State has been doing. I'll tune in.
I will as well. Remotely, though, getting ready for our high school game tonight. By the way, high school, it's a big basketball night. High school basketball coming up tonight as well. 107.5 FM. We will get to see number one Cedar Falls. Five college players in their starting five. And this kid, this young Hunter Jacobson coming off the bench for Cedar Falls, who's probably got a little bit of a future as well. Of course, Ben Jacobson's son. And it'll be Cedar Falls at Linmar tonight in boys basketball. The unbeaten Tigers come to town. We'll have it at 7:15 on 107.5 FM. 106.3 FM tonight, also at about 7:15. It'll also be the stream and the radio app tonight, as it'll be Marion. The Indians go on the road to take on Clear Creek Amana in a good WOMAC conference affair tonight, as Miles and Eric will have the call on that particular game coming up tonight. Also at 7:15. But back to Michigan State and Iowa State, and Iowa, I should say. I really like the matchup. I did not like the matchup with Iowa and Illinois. Illinois, a lot like Gonzaga, did not like that matchup as well. And usually you see Michigan State chock full of guys much like DeSumo or even a Trent Frazier to a certain degree, and they just don't have that explosive, dynamic personnel this year. And like I said, they have not shot it very well from the outside. A little bit of perimeter problems as far as this Michigan State basketball team is concerned. Spartans right now at only 32% from beyond the arc. And it's not a Michigan State team that is causing havoc as far as the defense and leading to points off of turnovers. And just those things wrapped up all into one, and you go from the top half, top echelon of the Big Ten. You don't get two or three turnovers that lead to big-time buckets, and all of a sudden wins become losses. Wins that you had in the past now become 1- and 2-point losses, and even worse. Michigan State has been blown out a few times this year.
It has, but we've seen the craziness of college basketball. If you have an off night, as Iowa did against Indiana, you can see what happens. But you're quite right about Michigan State. One player averaging on double figures, and that's Aaron Henry at about 13 points a game. And just his shot at, you know, in the last three games, 12 out of 57 from three-point range. That's not the Michigan State that I've seen in the past, but we're talking 2020, 2021, and this is where we're at with Sparty.
2662 on the text line. By the way, you can reach us via the text line or the phone line, 319-366-1600. Hawks get back on track tonight. Iowa 87, Michigan State 68. Go Hawks. And he also adds, or they add, as a Redbird fan, the Cards say they aren't done. Nolan is the tip of the iceberg. Go Cardinals. Thank you, 2662. Yeah, Arenado is a Redbird now, as the fire sale, I guess, has begun in Colorado at this particular time. And, yeah, I have also heard that the Cardinals are not done. And it'll be interesting to see what other moves that St. Louis may make as we get closer and closer to baseball, which I guess now, Mark, even though Arizona, the cities in Arizona have asked Major League Baseball to hold off on spring training, it sounds like that is not going to be the case. And we're going to have spring training starting in a couple of weeks. And MLB is planning on Major League Baseball's schedule starting on time.
Yeah, and as expected, the Players Union shot down the Major League Baseball's offer for a 154-game season starting a month later. playoffs expanded and the like. So I guess we're going to see spring training starting on time. No fans allowed, 25% capacity at games. And there we have moving forward. And the next step is, where does minor league baseball fit in? And when will it start? Because as I understand it, they will not be in the same complex at the same time, major leaguers and minor leaguers in that regard. So that's the next piece of news I think I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see on that, exactly how Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball are going to go with it. 319-366-1600. 5037. I think Bohannon makes 7 threes and Garza goes for 35 tonight.
We're going to have to revisit these texts tomorrow, Scott.
Well, if that is the case, that is 56. If J-Bo doesn't make anything but three-pointers, that's 56 points for two guys. That's a win tonight, Buttons, right? He's shaking his head. That is an Iowa win tonight if that happens, 50-37. So we will see how it all plays out. As we mentioned, four games in the Big Ten Conference coming up tonight and some very good ones. I'm going to be very interested to see how Illinois will bounce back if they still have that same intestinal fortitude that they showed on Friday night against Iowa. And Indiana's not a bad team. This is a good spot, I think, to get Illinois if you're Indiana. And I also think Texas might get Baylor tonight.
Well, that's two interesting games, to be sure. I don't know about the latter. Baylor is very, very good. Texas, more than capable. I don't disagree in that regard, but the Illinois-Indiana game is going to be quite interesting, I think, and going to be fun to watch both teams in that regard and how they react and how they compete. You know, Indiana's on a thread right now. What do they have, 6 losses in the league? I think probably already out of contention, but they're going to need some quality wins to get in the NCAA tournament, I think.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. Standings right now as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Of course, Michigan not playing right now, but the Wolverines are out in front at 8-1. Illinois, the only team with 3 losses right now at 7-3. And, well, Iowa also with 3 losses. I beg your pardon. Iowa 6-3. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Purdue all with 4 losses at this time. Indiana 4-5 in the league, 9-7. They are 47 as far as the net is concerned. Penn State, you know what their net is right now, Mark? Even though the Nittany Lions are 3-6 in the league and 6-7 overall.
Please tell.
29.
Wow.
Because they're all basically quad one games that Penn State has played. So if I mean, Maryland's a 43 at this time, for heaven's sake. That's crazy stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see. But Penn State is, again, good team. But Penn State is that team we were talking about yesterday, Mark. Would you rather see a Penn State team that's 3 or 4 games under 500 in their league? Or would you rather see a Drake or a Loyola that slipped up once in the tournament for the Missouri Valley or whatever mid-major conference you have?
Well, I think we revealed our choice yesterday on the show, and that would be a Loyola or a Drake. But I have a soft spot in my heart for teams like Penn State, who are the perennial underdog in the Big Ten. And to play well, Pat Chambers had it going before he departed. Penn State could be a real good story by the end of the year.
Yeah, and we'll see. They need a few more wins, though. There's no doubt about that. They do need a few more wins out there. 3:29. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk some wrestling with you as we will be joined by Wyatt Schultz of The Predicament and our usual Tuesday talk with Wyatt. So stay tuned. More to come. Gym class for a Tuesday. Groundhog's Day coming your way right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
So here's the thing. When you use electricity can matter as much as how much you use. Who knew, right? Linn County REC does. They purchase power to get members like you the electricity you need. When demand is the highest, it puts a whopper of an impact on the power grid, so the cost is higher. But if everybody kind of spreads out when they're using electricity, Linn County REC doesn't have to pay as much, and the savings are passed on to you. The busiest times for energy use are known as on-peak hours. Right now, that's from 4 in the afternoon to 9 at night. So, if everybody works together to lessen their use a little, it means lower impact on the grid and lower cost to Linn County REC and you. So, what can you do? Easy stuff. Avoid running multiple appliances at the same time during peak hours, schedule chores like laundry, running the dishwasher for off-peak times, and keep the amount of electricity you're using lower from 4 to 9. Working together can beat the peak. Yet another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. What better way to celebrate the 55th edition of the big game than with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook? If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Chiefs play the Buccaneers. That's right, you can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February 7th. Chiefs Kingdom, if you think that your team can stifle Tom Brady, 55-1 odds. And this is just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have tons of odds boosts and specials, not only every day, but they feature big super boosts each weekend. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey, Mom. I brushed my teeth for 2 minutes.
You did?
I went to the brush warrior.
Which means you brushed twice today. Great job, bub.
February is National Children's Dental Health Month. Help your kiddos become toothbrush warriors by brushing twice a day for at least 2 minutes each time. Along with drinking fluoridated water, eating healthy foods, and visiting the dentist by the age of one, your child can have a healthy smile for a lifetime. A message from the Iowa Department of Public Health's iSmile program.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Back at 3:32. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Got you, Nash. Mark Dukes. Buttons with you, taking it through the 3 o'clock hour. We've got high school basketball coming your way later tonight, 7:15, 107.5 FM, number one Cedar Falls at Linmar. On the boys' side, also boys basketball, 106.3 FM tonight. Marion on the road at Clear Creek Amana down at Tiffin. Iowa State basketball tonight at 5:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. As it'll be Iowa State hosting West Virginia. That will get underway at just past 6 o'clock. By the way, 106.3 FM. We will have the final half hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way tonight, and that will be on 106.3 FM coming your way this evening. And, of course, Iowa men's basketball also in action coming up this evening. Before we get to wrestling, Mark, this news just breaking here, courtesy of Golf Week. And last year there was not an open championship. There will be an open championship this year, but they have announced that it will not have fans for the 149th open championship at Royal St. George's. Mark.
Well, as has been typical of most tournaments on the PGA Tour and elsewhere, not surprising. At least they're going to play.
They're the first. I believe Bay Hill is going to have a small number of spectators. And that is the that's coming down in later this month, in March, sometime in there in Florida.
Phoenix this week is as well.
Are they going to have a few? Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Not the usual throng around the 16th hole, though.
No, not by any means. No,
not anything like that. Maybe they will curtail that, but there may still be a beverage or two consumed around the 16th hole in the amphitheater. Of course, as golf fans know, the Waste Management Phoenix Open is a little different breed as far as golf tournaments are concerned.
No doubt about it. And that hole you illustrated is one of the most fun holes of the year. And it's not going to be that way this year. Fans, players, caddies have all loved it over the years. But, yeah, we'll deal with it.
There you go. All right. We are set to talk with Wyatt Schultz of The Predicament. And he, of course, joins us on Tuesdays to talk high school wrestling with us right here on KGYM. And Wyatt, we are at sectionals already, man. Every year it just goes seemingly faster and faster from the start of the season to the start of the postseason.
Well, exactly. And then not only that, when you basically missed a lot of December and all of a sudden you get into the new year and you only have a month. So you're right. It went really, really fast this year. I know with myself personally, I helped with the video streaming of a lot of tournaments. And so I was busy every weekend. And so it went doubly fast by the time you do the tournaments and then get prepared for the following week.
Yeah.
Wyatt, a very strange weekend because of the weather and a lot of conference tournaments were scheduled. Some were held, some were not, some were moved back. The WOMAC, for example, to Monday. Help us sort all that out.
It started out, actually, we were planning on streaming five conference tournaments and only ended up with one, which was the MAC down in Clinton. The WOMAC canceled theirs or postponed theirs. I got to rephrase that. Postponed theirs until Monday. And West Delaware said, we'll host. So they hosted last night, which I was up there last night. And but only 7 of the 13 teams were there. So it was kind of a depleted field. And then some of the teams didn't send their regulars as well. So but in actuality, it was still still some great finals. West Delaware came away with 10 champions out of that tournament. And of course we've known all year long that they've got a solid team anyway, but Independence then had a couple champs. Beckman had one, and Jaden Moore out of Benton Community was the other champion. But West Delaware just kind of ran away with that. As far as the MAC, North Scott came away with that one. And between them and Bettendorf, the two of them got pretty solid teams. And I was a little concerned going down on Saturday morning with the weather coming in, and they wanted to get it in, so they moved it up an hour. And we finished in fine shape. When I got packed up and was ready to head home, it was just starting to rain about 4 o'clock. So we got it in.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, some moved up, like you mentioned. We knew the Mississippi Valley Conference meet, that had been called off a couple weeks prior, so that wasn't certainly going to happen. And there were a few of the other conferences around the state that did not have their particular conference tournaments as well. And everybody just wants to be at full strength going into this weekend and then, of course, next weekend.
Exactly. Each school has their own philosophies on how they wanted to handle these last weeks or so. Like West Delaware, they said, we take our precautions. So they're all full steam ahead. And which I guess I kind of commend them for that. They've got a nice solid team and they're willing to go forward. Some of the teams are not wrestling at all for 2 weeks or 10 days or whatever it is prior to sectionals or districts. But that's something that they came up with. And just like the WOMAC last night, there were some teams that decided not to wrestle. Some of them left it up to the individual, such as Isaiah Weber from Independence, who's now a 3-time conference champ as a junior. So he has the potential of being a 4-timer. And So a lot, some of that has been up to the schools, the coaches, and some to the teams. I think this Thursday, I think Clear Creek and Marion are going to wrestle. So, and some of these teams, like your Iowa City schools, you know, they don't have very many matches in at all. And going into the district tournaments, you know, some of those kids may not even have 10 matches under their belt by the time they go to districts, and may not only have 10 to 12 matches going into state if they make it that far.
Yeah, and the boot and insult to injury, the weather Thursday is supposed to be awful. So
yeah, isn't that the way the year has gone? You know, we've probably shoveled more dang snow this year than we have in the last 4 years combined.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm running out of places to shovel it. I might have to get that snow blower yet.
There you go.
Hey, Wyatt, I want to go up back to the Mississippi Athletic Conference tournament for a minute. And a two-pronged question. Number one, were you surprised North Scott outlasted Bettendorf? Because you've got Bettendorf ranked a little bit higher than North Scott. And then secondly, Ella Schmidt, the girls' state champion, made it to the finals at 106. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, and I think I might even brought her up last week because she was a runner-up at that at the Bettendorf Midwest Shootout, and she kind of impressed me there. But I'll tell you what, she was a hammer in that semifinal match. When she's in that top position, she is pretty solid. She just got that bar arm in, and she worked and worked and worked and pinned the kid. And so she is actually a really solid wrestler. She's tall and lanky, which I don't know if some kids, it makes it harder for them to wrestle the taller kids, but she is very solid. As far as North Scott and Bettendorf, sometimes these smaller tournaments are a little skewed. And I guess the reason I say that is I think back, and I always bring it up, Hudson a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, they finished third in sectionals, second in districts, and won the state championship. But they had just a limited number of kids that placed in every tournament, but they also won every tournament. And so to a certain extent, with the smaller tournament, that may be skewed. And that's not taking anything away from Bettendorf or North Scott.
Yeah. Wyatt Schultz joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:43 as we talk high school wrestling. It is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. And Kurt, of course, located across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. 2A and 1A coming up with sectionals this weekend. Is this the last sectional tournament we're going to have in the state of Iowa, you think?
I don't know. If you want my opinion, I guess I would say I hope so. Especially for the 1As, they just have such a hard time fielding teams, and you still would have your great matches. With 2A, you'd have a 12-team tournament, and sometimes those lineups aren't filled as well. And so you still may only have an 8-man bracket, but even at a 16-man bracket in districts, I would be all for it. And if nothing else, maybe run a state dual tournament on that sectional weekend.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just throwing it out there, you know. As a fan, we sometimes talk about stuff like that, and you know, because it's probably split between coaches on that Wednesday before the state tournament. Some like it, some absolutely hate it. The ones that like it, they like to take their team down there because they get to, some of those kids get to compete in the state tournament that they didn't qualify for. And so you can't take that away from those coaches. Some of them, they have more emphasis on the individual part of the tournament. And so they kind of hold back on that dual part. So if you had them at two different sites or two different times, maybe they would wrestle full strengths on both tournaments.
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. Like they're going to listen to me, right?
Hey, Wyatt, curious, you get around, that's for sure. How do you think high school programs have handled COVID?
As a general rule, I would say they're pretty darn good. Each school is entirely different, of course. I can think of a school that takes their precautions seriously, and by that I mean they hang around together, but they don't necessarily mingle around with a lot of people outside of the wrestling circle. You have other ones, and maybe so more of the bigger towns, the bigger cities, where they get out a little more, and you think you're being cautious, and all of a sudden one of your friends has been in contact, and not that you necessarily come down with COVID, but have come into contact with someone and have to go into quarantine. So as a general rule, I would say it's been handled pretty darn good with the social distancing overall general concerns. I think it's been handled real well.
I would second that. We do have a question for you, Wyatt, before we get into talking a little bit about the sectionals. 3349 on the text line wanted to ask you, would you have Wyatt explain how weight classes worked in girls wrestling?
That I couldn't tell you. What they did was took out, was it 160 or 170 of the girls, and that I believe it was the 195. They just basically used the boys' weights and took out two.
Okay.
I myself would like to see more adjustment, not necessarily cut down the number of weights, but adjust the weights themselves. But, you know, and if he was looking at the results, that was a really, really nice, well-run tournament. Enthusiastic. There's a couple things that I would like to see changed, whether it does or not. But it would be something that would solidify or justify a legitimate state tournament and give the girls some more recognition.
Yeah, but very well run, no doubt about
that. Very, very well run.
Sectionals coming up this week on Saturday. Weather should be okay. It's going to be cold, but it should be okay. Some of in 2A, Independence is going to be hosting. They've got, of course, Benton Community, Old Wine, Union, Vinton, and Williamsburg up there, along with Independence. West Delaware is hosting. CPU is up there. Monticello, Mount Vernon will take their team up there, as well as Dubuque Wallert. It's got a couple of good individuals. Central DeWitt's going to be hosting. Solon is going up there. West Liberty is also going up there. And Decorah is going to be hosting. Assumption's going to be hosting as well. So that's 2A. In 1A, Lisbon is hosting, and they've got North Cedar. West Branch will be going to Lisbon. And the other half of that particular district is going to be the sectional at Minneapolis. Regina will be involved in that one. So some of the other places in eastern Iowa, Cascade and 1A will be hosting. English Valleys will be hosting. MFL Marmac, and then Columbus Junction will also be hosting. What's on the Wyatt Schultz docket for this Saturday?
Well, as far as I know of as right now, I'm taking kids up to Cascade and going to help out with that one a little bit. But you were talking about Columbus Catholic or the Lisbon sectionals. You know, a lot of those are pretty solid sectionals, but it's because the Lisbon is in there, which makes it awfully tough for anybody. And then of course you have some good individuals out of the other schools, but you were talking about maybe being a last year of sectionals. If you go through some of these lineups, you know, North Cedar doesn't field a full team. Midland doesn't field a full team. Bellevue only has a half a dozen kids. So out of those seven teams, you may be lucky at some point to have a five-man bracket. And you throw that in with that other sectional, and you got a maybe a 10-man bracket, but you got a nice district out of it by the time you're done. So I guess that's maybe a little of my thinking as far as sectionals and districts go for 1 and 2A.
Hey, Wyatt, in the college ranks, we can talk about Iowa, Iowa State, but I want to talk about Division III and Coe coming very close to knocking off Wartburg in its season opener, I think. And if it wasn't for a couple pins, one by our mutual friend's son, Kyle Briggs, it might have been a Coe victory. So bodes well for the Cohawks.
Yeah, you know, and actually, you know, we've kind of talked about different runs at national titles, you know, and I always think back of the John Wooden UCLA times when they had their run. And to me, what that did was brought everybody up to that level. And it just like Iowa, when they made their run, it brought everybody up to that level. And with Wartburg and Augsburg, it's bringing up everybody up to their level now. And it's not that they're bringing Wartburg down. It's everybody's coming up to their level. And with that win by Wartburg over Cole, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into that. You know, a major decision here, or, you know, if this guy would have taken him down in the last little bit, you know, to prevent that extra point. But, at 25, you know, if he'd have got another takedown over Kiner, you know, it shaves off points or add points. So it really makes it an exciting Division III, and hopefully they'll have a Division III tournament this year.
Hope so. Fingers crossed as far as that is concerned. You got new rankings before sectionals coming up, at least for 1A and 2A?
Yes, we will. Thursday we'll be coming out with those, so look for those. And also it will then we'll come out with how strong some of these sectionals and districts are. We always put together a kind of a little spreadsheet for that. So it's interesting to see how strong these sectionals or districts are, you know, like that Lisbon district or Lisbon sectional or district with Mediapolis and, you know, your West Delaware. I myself was kind of tickled that they didn't put Independence and West Delaware in the same district, you know, kind of separated those two schools just because of the rivalry. And I'm sure you watched that duel last week. That was a blast. But they kind of separated those top teams this year, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, they're better doing much better job at that.
Yes.
All right, enjoy the wrestling, Wyatt, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Wyatt Schultz of The Predicament joining us, talking high school wrestling with you here on Tuesdays on The Gym Class. It's brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up after this here on KGYM.
Tune into The Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus, but there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
A big WOMAC Conference crossover battle comes up this Tuesday on KGYM. Join Miles Klotz and Eric Peterson Tuesday at 7:15 on 106.3 FM and the KGYM radio app and stream as Marion takes on Clear Creek Amana. The Indians are looking to move closer to the top of the WOMAC East, while the Clippers are looking for the West Division title. That's boys high school basketball, Marion at Clear Creek Amana, Tuesday at 7:15 on 106.3 FM, KGYM.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. and the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gary is refinancing his home, so he shopped around for the lowest rate and found it at Amerisave.com, setting him up for a lifetime of savings. It's one decision he'll never regret, unlike taking that gig in the testing lab at the deodorant company.
Raise your arm, please. Oh, man, I hate this job.
Pretty regrettable, Gary. Unlike finding that low mortgage rate at Amerisave.com that's got you on your way to a lifetime of savings. Amerisave's rates won't be this low forever, so go to Amerisave.com now. Lower mortgage rates mean higher savings. Call 866-514-SAVE or visit Amerisave.com/licensing for cost information, terms, and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all states except New York. NMLS number 1168.
3:55, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM on this it's Tuesday edition of the show. Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow, and we'll talk college wrestling with Mark. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. And from 4 until 6, I'll have your next opportunity to win from Hertina Stocker Jewelers down in Iowa City, a $50 gift card to use for the perfect gift for your significant other out there. They'll have that opportunity for you coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Mark, we may have buried the lead today, I am told, because, and maybe it's because you and I are of a a certain age ilk here, but the world is all up in arms and happy about the fact that EA Sports is bringing back the college football video game.
Yeah, so I've heard. And I'm not a gamer. I know you're not either. The only times I've really sat in was with my grandchildren, and I spend more time trying to figure out what button does what than than anything else. But
I just stick to golf video games in the day.
Yeah. But for those who enjoy this, it's wonderful. Just as an, you know, pure novice, EA Sports cannot use names, image, or likenesses, current rosters of players. I know there's a dynasty version you can build in past players and whatnot, but I don't think this is in development, whether the NCAA or Congress passes NIL legislation, and I'm sure EA Sports will follow, but for those who love this sort of thing, good for you.
Yeah, great. Have fun. Buttons, are you a big EA Sports? Look at him. He's, yeah. Oh, yeah. What was your team, Buttons? What was your team? He's thinking about it. Did you, well, around here you always play with Iowa or Iowa State. Yeah. Most people would do that. And everyone's trying to come up with, what is the player from yesteryear that you could build your EA Sports team around. And like I said, I don't know, but I'm happy for those folks out there, and bully for them today. Have fun with it as it comes out very, very soon. Mark Ironside will join us tomorrow. Iowa wins tonight, Mark?
I think so, but maybe not by as much as you might think.
67-39, agreeing with Mark and I. My cousins wouldn't let me play. I brought down their ratings. So there you go. It's all about the ratings and whatnot. All right, I think Iowa gets a victory as well. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk some college wrestling tomorrow as well. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tonight out at Linmar.
Hindsight is 2020, and 2020 was a brutal year that for most of it felt out of control. But you know how you can be in control? You can be in control of your job, your career. Yes. In 2020, my computer career